Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Joining me right now, good friend of the program, Matt Mikowiak of MustReadTexas.com, also GOP political strategist. Matt, good morning. How are you?
How about you?
Doing all right. Appreciate you coming on today. I just had Ken Paxton on the show, and this has been a back and forth between Paxton and Dan Branch. Paxton is out there saying, okay, you know, all of this is put behind us. This ethics disclosure deal, that this is being put behind me. We've got clear roads ahead. Is that true, you think?
Remains to be seen. You know, I think that it has to be said that the revelation and the attacks to the Branch campaign has, I think, somewhat effectively made against Paxton has had some impact. You know, I just think it's certainly shaken him from his momentum. He's been a little bit invisible over the last few weeks as he's been trying to deal with this. I think it's clear with him coming on your radio show this morning that he intends to now go back on offense, explain what happened, be clear about it, talk about the difference in the record, and talk about the conservative, support that he's got across the state from major groups and leading conservative individuals around the state. So, you know, look, again, I mean, I think the really hard thing to figure out is for news junkies like us, we pay a lot of attention to this, but the question is, do average voters pay attention to this? And,
right.
And I think with the primary being the day after Memorial Day, you're going to have a more conservative electorate. It's going to be smaller than the March 4th primary turnout, and I think generally speaking, that's likely to benefit the candidates who are perceived as more conservative. And in the Attorney General's race, that's Paxton.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that. I think that that while I think Paxton has lost a little bit of momentum in this, I still think, and look, Dan Branch has picked up many endorsements over the last couple of weeks. I think total of 14 endorsements over the past couple of weeks. I think the only time that the Paxton campaign needs to start really freaking out and saying we're in trouble here is if the Ted Cruz camp calls and says, hey, that message that you keep playing about our guy, pull that, okay? We don't want to be associated. Until that happens, the Paxton camp, I still think that they're in a comfortable lead here.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen some sort of, like, I guess some small law enforcement, local law enforcement groups and some other sort of individuals maybe announce their endorsements, a couple congressmen. But you haven't really seen the major conservative groups that do the voter contact, that have large email lists, that are well known, that have stood by Paxton, that stood by him in a three-way race on March 4th. You haven't seen any of them have any concern. And in fact, I believe Paxton was able to announce the NRA endorsement in the runoff as well.
That's
and
correct.
The NRA endorsement is significant because of the voter contact that they do and the single-issue voters that many of their members are. So, look, I'm not, you know, I think in trying to analyze this fairly, I think, again, it's clear that this has helped Branch. It's clear it's allowed him to be on offense and put Paxton on defense. But on the other hand, I still think Paxton has a lead and would have to be still considered the front runner at this point.
Sure, absolutely. Taking a look at Lieutenant Governor, another race that has gone back and forth. You know, we're seeing Dan Patrick, David Dewhurst, they're going to continue to take shots at each other. I still don't see where David Dewhurst has really come out and separated himself or even tried to really separate himself from Dan Patrick. This seems to be David Dewhurst trying to get a message out, but it's not really working.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, I mean, what's so interesting here is that you see similar dynamics in both the Lieutenant Governor runoff and the Attorney General runoff, right? You have two candidates, one of whom is perceived as more conservative. That candidate has a lead. But you also see the challenger in both races has, I think, put the front runner back on their heels a little bit. And I think with Dewhurst, obviously, he's gone pretty hard negative. He's been putting millions of dollars behind these negative ads. Whether that has an impact, you know, we'll see. I mean, Patrick was attacked to some extent in the primary as well, and his support base, if anything, became more supportive. I mean, the attacks against Dan about hiring an illegal immigrant unknowingly 25 years ago or so in Houston didn't seem to do much damage at that time. So we'll see. I mean, again, I think that, you know, Dewhurst faces the same challenge as Branch faces, and that is they're not perceived as the more conservative candidate. They are coming from behind. And I think that for both Paxton and Patrick, they both have the more motivated voter vote base to start with. Now, whether that voter base is as motivated as it was on March 4th remains to be seen. And I think in both cases, the challengers have made up some ground. Whether it's enough ground, we don't know yet.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, MustReadTexas.com, also a Republican strategist out there. Matt, we're taking a look at just a few of the national issues that are out there right now. And immigration, every 2 weeks, it seems it pops back up. Well, it's back up again this week. Do you think that Republicans really take, going into the midterms or after midterms, do you really think they take a chance on immigration reform, or is this a minefield that they really don't need to get in right now?
Boy, it's a good question. I mean, obviously, it depends on what the specifics of the legislation is. If it has anything to do with what the illegal immigrant population is here in the country, what happens to that population, I think that's terribly risky. Is that really divide the Republican Party unnecessarily going into a midterm election? I think here's the rub. I think on the one hand, Republicans feel like they have really good momentum moving toward the midterm elections, and they want to stay on that, whether it's the economy or Obamacare or even some of this Benghazi revelations. On the other hand, big business and some of the more mainstream elements in the party feel like if we don't get an immigration reform bill done this year, they don't think it's likely to happen in the next 2 years because you're going to be so focused on presidential politics it'll be impossible, particularly since you may have as many as three Republican U.S. senators running for president. So there's a sense that maybe the clock is ticking and the window's closing this year. And so I actually think, Chad, what's most likely to happen is you will see the House Republicans move forward on some type of immigration reform bill during the lame duck, in probably late November or December, after the midterm elections. By then we'll know if we've won the House and Senate and by what margin. But I think at that point, that's probably where they feel like they can do the most. Whether it amounts to, quote, amnesty or not, I suspect it won't. Because I think that just can't get through the House, no matter when they do that vote. But I that's my sense. There's also still a chance they're going to advance individual immigration bills in July or so, June or July, where they take a piecemeal approach. Whether that happens, I think, still remains to be seen. And I think whether the House then agrees to conference with the Senate, who already passed a comprehensive bill, the Rubio Schumer bill. That's really the key question. If they go to conference, you may get an amnesty-type bill. If they don't go to conference, then both houses will be able to say they tried to work on immigration. Either way, I think the lame duck is the most likely time frame for one. They'll try to address immigration.
We're of course, a while away from 2016, but Marco Rubio made news over the weekend saying that, he's ready to be president of the United States. In regards to immigration, there were a lot of Tea Party folks, a lot of conservatives that were upset with Marco Rubio. They loved him beforehand. They got mad at him due to immigration. Do you think that enough time has gone by to where he can recapture that more conservative base that's out there?
I think it's probably tough. I mean, I think it depends a little bit on the immigration issue ends up being resolved, if it's resolved at all. If it gets resolved successfully, which is very difficult, and I think the damage to Rubio is decreased. If it's still out there, look, Republican activists remember the bill. They didn't like it. They didn't like the way Rubio handled it. And even Rubio has really distanced himself from it since then. So he realizes the damage that was done. I think the challenge for Rubio is that conservatives like him on every other issue.
Yeah.
And they see him as someone who is a next-generation candidate, who's an outstanding communicator, who has a great personal story, who comes from an important state politically. So I think he's going to be a contender in 2016 if he runs. I think he won't run if Jeb Bush runs. But I do think this immigration thing is probably going to be his biggest challenge. And a lot of that depends on what happens on immigration for the rest of the year. If somehow they get some type of bipartisan bill, then I guess I think there's a chance that the damage to him will be decreased. But it really remains to be seen.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, what can people find on MustReadTexas.com today?
Yeah, just started updating it from over the weekend and this morning. The one thing that I'm watching today is there's a select committee that is investigating a University of Texas regent named Wallace Hall, and they've been investigating him for a period of months. They're today going to likely vote on whether to advance articles of impeachment against Wallace Hall. This is a fight between some conservative activists and some other folks at the University of Texas. This is has the potential to be a pretty ugly fight that could become a much bigger story. So that whether they vote today to advance articles of impeachment against a regent will be a big story.
Absolutely. Matt Mikowiak, appreciate your time.
Take care.
That's Matt Mikowiak. You can find him on Twitter as well, at Matt Mikowiak.